course, I know we have our standing needs. We want to remember Sister Inez, Sister Crafton's father, Brother Larry Bryant, Brother Sister Crow. Help me out. Anyone else that those standing needs? It's good to see Brother Steve Wallace with us here tonight. Very nice. Have him back amongst with us. Is there any other needs that we need to mention tonight? Sister who? Sister Donna. Sister Donna Henderson. Just remember her as she's, as I think was said the other night, recuperating. Sister Dolores needs prayer. Sister Linda Fisher. Anyone else here tonight? Sister Painter, was it your mother? She still needs prayer? Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and also I'm reminded of the York family. There. Yes, ma'am. Sister McGowan needs prayer also. I always pray for Brother McGowan, so that's I got you, Brother Weinger. Yes, Sister Stewart. Sister Stewart has a couple of unspoken requests. Go ahead, Sister Thompson. Brother Paul is still working. Definitely going into his busy season. Yes, I understand that. Let's pray for him. Lift him up. I mentioned Sister Inez, but I will mention her twice. She gets some double honor. That's all good. Anyone else have any other needs we need to mention tonight? If not, we can go ahead and you can stay seated. Let's just go ahead and take these needs before the Lord. Dear God, we appreciate the opportunity to come to you tonight, Lord, to seek your face, to learn more of you, to be closer to you in every single way. God, we have so many needs that we've come before you, Lord. You know, you've heard them here tonight, dear God, as we lift them up before you, dear Jesus, from healings, spiritual healings, different things, different touches. God, we call on you. We need you, Lord, more every day. We need a closer walk. God, we need to have that faith to know that you are the great physician. You're the one that can take care of every single need that we have. Lord, to just trust in you and to have faith and to know that you're walking with us. A lot of times carrying us, Lord. And we love you and we appreciate you, God. Just help us this night, Lord, to seek your face, Lord, to know more about you, to have ears to hear and eyes to see, to learn more of you, to be like you is our ultimate goal. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you for all that you do and blessing us and keeping us safe thus far, Lord God. Help us and cover us this night, Lord. Send your spirit to be with us here in this Bible study. We love and appreciate you in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Well, not to bring a funny note, but I guess I'll be more careful about what I say over the pulpit the previous night, just in case I am up over Bible study, because those of you who were here on Sunday night, I said, hey, everybody, when Brother Smith's here, don't forget, when he says anyone has questions, let's everybody raise their hand. Well, he's not here, so you can't do that. So, but you know what? I have an iPad right here. You can go ahead and say whatever you want, any questions. I will take them all down for him. Don't worry about that. I was just talking. It's a great opportunity to be given to teach in this format. Can show me some things about my own self that I need to consider, or that maybe God is trying to say, okay, well, there's another step or there's another opportunity for you. I was thinking about that, you know, getting up behind the Bible stand in church, especially whenever you're in charge. You feel that unction of the Holy Ghost, or, you know, you have the congregation before you in church and you've been praying about it and seeking. You know it's going to be a service and you have the band strike up and you hear the wonderful songs of Zion, choruses going, you feel the Spirit, and there's motivation, there's some fire, there's that Spirit going. And I thrive off that. I really do. That's how I can. I know whenever I've been able to get a hold of God, and I know when I'm up there burning and sizzling. Well, in this environment, it's a little different. But I was talking to Brother McGowan, and I was thinking, you know, there needs to come to a time, at least for me, I know that there isn't a difference. That I need to be able to pull on that Spirit wherever I am, to be able to link up with God, to be close enough to Him, walking with Him in that daily walk to where it may be just like Philip whenever he was moved on with the Ethiopian. The Spirit moved on him. There was one person. There wasn't this vast crowd of people. There wasn't, you know, even two or three. It was just one Ethiopian reading in Isaiah. And he felt the Spirit move on him, and he went over and ministered, and because of that, baptized him, and then Philip was moved on and went on from there. That's the opportunity that not only I have, though, that each one of us have. And that was one of the thoughts that's been going over my mind is we're called. We talk about being called, chosen, and faithful. Well, that calling is for each and every one of us. I have the opportunity. I have the we'll say blessing. We'll say it's sometimes definitely a burden. I'm learning to be able to minister now to the saints. But the only difference in the ministry and the saints is just to be the first partaker of the fruits, the first partaker. That's all. Because we all have a calling to make the bride of Christ. There's no difference in that. You have that same calling in your life. You have the calling to be able to minister to other people. You have the calling to be able to let that light shine in your life to be able to touch others to where they can have that hunger. They realize, we'll use what the Bible also says whenever Christ was on the Sermon on the Mount, it said, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? That salt, we have an opportunity. We have influence. You know, whenever, I don't know, how many here? Okay, first let me say this. Let me give a little disclaimer. I am traditionally, I like to walk around. I'm a sales rep, okay? And so it's hard for me just to sit still. I like to engage people. I like to be able to communicate and get others involved. So classes that I had before, the teenage class, the younger class, it's about getting people involved. So I may ask a question. Please forgive me for that. It's how I teach. It's how I learn. But how many here like mashed potatoes that have just been mashed with no butter and no salt? That's like, you love that. How many like that? Okay, so not many people like that. What do you like on your potatoes, Brother York? More potatoes. He liked a big serving. Okay. What type of extra ingredient do you like on? A little bit of butter, a little bit of salt. That's about it. Well, the way Chelsea would say, and she probably knew I was going to do this, she likes to say, would you like some potatoes with your salt? Okay. I may be a little more, it's the one area that I am liberal in my life, I'm sorry. But I do, I put some salt in there, I put some butter, I like that flavor. There's influence. The salt had influence on those mashed potatoes. It changed the way it was. Well, in our lives, as we're coming in contact with other people, we have an opportunity just by our life to change who they are, to be around them, to influence. You know, there's many different sayings we've heard through the years. You know, one bad apple will spoil the bunch. It's a negative saying. A little leaven, leaven is a whole lump. Biblical. Birds of a feather flock together. Most of the time, they're negative connotations. Most of the time, it's about guilt by association. You know, son, if you hang out with this group of people, they're automatically going to think you're unsavory. I've been having that talk with my son about who you hang out with matters. Well, there's a positive way to look at that, though. We all have the Spirit of God in our life. If we have the Holy Ghost living and breathing inside of us, the very Spirit of God, that influence, the Bible once said, turn the world upside down. I don't know. To me, I look at it, it turned it right side up for that time. For that amount of time, things were a little bit different because you could call on God and God would work in a way that He had not ever worked before. When Christ had came, died, give us the wonderful, blessed Holy Ghost, the apostles were working in that day, people's lives were changed. And that was one of the other things that I was thinking about as far as being salt. You know, it's the practical application of the word. It's not the do's and the don'ts, but it's how am I letting God change my life? You know, God's grace is so wonderful. There's nothing I could do in a million years to earn what Christ did for me just by going to the cross. It's not just, but by going to the cross, He done so much for me. God did so much for me for allowing that. But I can now determine what kind of effect that has in my life. I have a choice to say it can have a positive effect on me or it can have no effect whatsoever. The practical application of the word. What is it? Is it truly changing my life? Am I allowing God to have His perfect work in me? Because thankfully we do have grace. And grace gives me the opportunity that when I fall, that when I stumble, that when I make my mistakes, when I do sin again, that I have an advocate with the Father. That I can lift my hands, I can bow my head and say, God, forgive me. Thankfully, I don't have to go to some man and say, forgive me, earthly Father, for I've sinned. It's been 6 days since I last confessed. I can go right then and say, God, have mercy. Forgive me for letting you down. But I don't need to stop there. I need to say, but thank you, Lord, that I have the opportunity to go on. And that you are, I know by faith that you have forgiven me of that sin and you will not hold me accountable for that as long as I turn. It's funny, y'all listen for it. So many, and I've done this before, some people will say, God touched me so much, I did a 360. Well, that's not good. Because that just means I turned off, I'm right back where I was. All right, I want to do a 180. I want to turn from what was bad and go a different direction. Yeah, see, yes, yeah, Sister Tally's like, whoa, that's right. Thank you, Sister Tally, I appreciate that. In the mouth of two or three, right? All right. So, the practical application of the word. But where do I really look for that inspiration? Where do I look for God to have that change in my heart? What do I look for as guides? I'm not just needing to make up. I don't need to go in my own personal interpretation of, well, I think God says this or that. We have the Word of God. And I appreciate one of the, I'm going to get to as far as, we're going to go to Matthew in a second. Matthew 5, of course, where Jesus starts with the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to touch back over and those that, you know, from everyone probably in this room had the opportunity and the blessing maybe to hear Brother Linger, whether at your church, here in Little Rock, at a meeting, talk about reacting and responding. And there were some brothers I know that give him a hard time about that, but I appreciated when he broke down and gave a little bit of a medical aspect to it, just to recap on that. You know, when you go to the doctor and they give you medicine for some sort of ailment, and you have a reaction to it, is that, Brother Daniels, negative or positive? If it's a reaction. Reaction's bad. Brother Daniels said, that's bad. That's, you don't want that, Brother Tally. Okay? If you have a new blood pressure medicine, you have a reaction to it, the doctor's going to take you off that, hopefully. They're going to take you and find something else that's going to work for you. Now, if you respond to the medication, that's a good thing. It means that something is happening the right way. It's affecting your life. It's affecting that ailment the way it's supposed to. It's no different in our spiritual walk. One of the things that I've been thinking about, you know, in Matthew 5, and we'll go to that in a second, about when Christ is talking to the multitudes, and He's talking, you know, there at the multitudes, there was, if you want to say, ditch diggers to doctors. There was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, there was scribes, all the different sects of that time. They were all there. But what He was trying to get them to see was the law told you this. The law told you thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I'm going to give you a more perfect way. I'm going to show you that if someone smites you on the right, you're going to turn the other. Now, thankfully, that doesn't happen on a daily basis. Because I don't know if I'm that far along. I may be like that brother we've heard about years ago. Okay, I don't think I'm perfect by any means. But the brother that really felt that he was at a certain place in God and was doing very well, and then I think after a service, some little chap come along and kicked him in the shin. And that opportunity that was given to him right there, I can't remember the full part of it. Anyone can help me here. I don't know that he really responded well. He reacted and then realized, I guess I'm not as far along as I thought I was. I guess I need longer than 3.5 years, right, Sister Tally? A lot more. But it's those little things. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's realizing that I need to treat my wife better. And sometimes that's difficult because at home, okay, so in my job, and I've relayed some of this before, and it's very similar to Brother Brett Weiniger's. So I'm a major account manager. I handle the large industrial customers across the state of Arkansas for waste management. Okay, what does that mean? It means I talk to everybody from the janitor to a CEO, trying to make the connections to make sure that they'll stay with us. But most of the time, as I've said before, all I'm doing is handling complaints. Okay, it's all the time, you know, your driver's doing this, or they didn't pick up this, or they didn't do that. It's a very negative deal going on. But because, believe it or not, they pay me. It's very odd. They pay me there at Waste Management. It's a great deal. I've told my boss before, I tell you what, I love this place. But I'm just sorry, but the day after you guys quit paying me, I'm probably not going to show up. He understands. But the negative, day in and day out. But I have to put on a happy face, put on my Waste Management representation and say, you know what, sir, I understand what you're saying. That would bother me as well. I'll get to the bottom of it and I will take care of this and address this for you. And I have to do that time and time again. Well, when I get home at 5 o'clock, And my customer service desk has closed for the day, okay? The sign is out and says, out of order. Gone to lunch, not coming back, see you later. And when my wife, you know, I come home, and what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to sit on the couch. I don't want the tea. I just want to look at the wall. You know, I want it to just be blank. I don't want anything going on. But I come in, and you know what? She has been working all day. The living room, you can tell it's picked up. It looks nice. Dinner is made in there, and she's smiling, and I don't notice any of it. Okay, I'm trying not to do that. Okay, I'm trying to learn from my mistakes. I'm just testifying here today. You can see if it's right or not. You can look at her face right now. She's like, "Amen, preach it." I'll come in, and I will just, you know, I won't be negative per se to her. I won't notice any of the things she's done, and then she might say, dinner's in 5 minutes. Well, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry right now. I'm filled with all the negativity. I've had plenty to eat today. But here she's been working and over a hot stove, you know. Whew, you know how you sisters, and because if I cook, it's in the microwave or it's milk and cereal. So I then don't, it's not just that I don't notice what she's done, but it's then my attitude. It's the attitude that I then bring in the home because I'm in my safe zone. I'm in my area that, you know what? You know me. You know how I am. Leave me alone. I'm tired. I'm beat down. But what does the Bible say? Okay, so first, it tells me as my wife, I have to love my wife as in the weaker vessel. And if I can't do that, It says to love my brother as myself. Because she's my sister in the Lord. If I can't do that, you know what? I still don't have an out. Because it also says that I have to love my enemy and bless them that curse me. Well, she's not doing any of those things. But what God has basically said to me is, you don't have an out. You need to turn that 180 at the door. Before I walk in the door, I need to stop and check myself and say, all right, I'm obviously wearing a suit of negativity right now. I need to leave this at the door, as someone mentioned the other night about you can leave your troubles at the door because they'll be there when you come back. Don't worry, no one's going to take them. Leave it there, and when I go in, treat my wife as I would that customer. Now, I'm not trying to equate God's love to being an account manager, but what I'm trying to say is I often will treat people elsewhere better than my own family. It's almost opposite of what Christ says sometimes in here. You know, if you can love your loved ones, you love those, you need to love these other people. Well, in my job, it's like I have to treat these other guys with more respect than I do my family. So it's a little bit backwards. But the main gist of it is that I need to realize how I'm treating my family. And then I need to realize, how am I treating my church family? How am I treating those that are just around me? That practical application of the Word of God. It turned to Matthew 5. We know the Beatitudes. We've all read over them. Those that went through the schooling here years ago, or maybe they're in co-ops or different private schools, you know, we memorized the entire 5 through 7 as far as the chapters were concerned. Now, I've forgotten most of it, but we've all read it. We're familiar with it. Sister Jamie, I think she wants to go ahead and quote it all for us because she's much younger than I am, so she can still remember it all. But in Matthew 5, it starts out, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit. To be humble. To be able to have a spirit of humility. To not push myself forward. Paul says in one place, you know what? You need to learn to suffer yourselves to be defrauded. You're taking your brothers and sisters to law when one day you should be judging the world. You need to learn to be able to suffer a little bit. Suffer some wrong. It's okay. A lot of times when I pray, when I'm going through a trial or a test, what I'm praying for is total deliverance from whatever situation that I'm in. That's basically like if you had a chessboard and your king's about to be taken, that's me saying, Lord, help me right now, I'm in check. And God taking the king and taking it off the board. Putting it where it can't be touched. What do I learn through that? I learn how to be a baby. I learn how to stay immature. I learn that I don't learn anything. God, as Brother Smith has mentioned, and I really like it, is not a cosmic Santa Claus, but I often treat him that way. What I should be praying is, God, give me the strength to endure this trial and temptation. Or as Christ prayed, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, you know what? Your will be done, God. Your will in my life, because you see areas that I don't see. He's got the big flashlight going down on my life, seeing areas in my heart that need worked on. Brother Linger relayed years ago about he and Sister Linger being in the motorhome and how the lighting was not up to spec. Maybe some lights were out. Maybe they didn't turn them all on. Maybe there was one literally needed to be changed. And that she put a dress on and was ready to go to church, and when they stepped out in the light, before they left, she noticed there was a huge stain on that dress. And she couldn't believe that she was about to go to church in that dress. But he used that to illustrate the point of sometimes, depending upon the amount of light or understanding that you have, you may not see a certain area. What's it say help me out with this, brothers, sisters, it's man is a candle of the Lord. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. So, my brothers and my sisters, and you may not even do it purposely.
Sorry?
That's odd. Okay. Well, it's my iPad ringing and not my phone, so that was really confusing to me. The trials and tribulations, the things that we go through with our brothers and sisters, are helping me to see how I need to grow. we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. And those sound awesome. But one of the things we learned is they're what? They're fruit. But in order to have the fruit, you have to have the tree. You have to have something, there's an action there to get those fruit. Well, instead of me praying, God, deliver me from this totally, pull me out of this temptation, pull me from this trial, maybe I could do like Paul and try my very best. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to do a good job of it, but to do what? To rejoice in that tribulation. Not in the trial, not in whatever's going on, but in what it's working in my body, what it's working in my spiritual soul, what God is then doing surgery then to get something out of my life, or maybe He's putting something in. He's helping me to understand. You know, we all talk about the patience of Job, the waiting. But so what was Job doing during those trials and tests? Number one, he wasn't laying the charge to God. Number two, though, he was enduring and he was bearing it. I mean, did he want out of it? Yeah, he wanted out of it. God, for someone to say, I wish I'd never been born, he didn't want to continue through it, but he suffered through it. He suffered through the temptation. He suffered through those comforters. Tormentors is more what they were, but he suffered through it all. Well, I need to do that in order to get that patience in my life, that long suffering, learning how to endure. We reference in the Bible about refiner's fire, about being pure gold, about being precious jewels in His crown. Well, the process for gold, it has to be heated, and someone could Google it right now. It has to be heated to a certain temperature to get all of the impurities out of that gold. There's gold there, but there's those impurities as well. That dross then has to be scooped off, and they put it back through that process until there's nothing but pure gold. And for precious jewels, for diamonds, it takes heat, pressure, and time. What is that? Waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But they have to wait on the Lord. And see, when we just read it, it sounds like it's, boy, that's just awesome. They that wait upon the Lord. But what, you know, what's going on when you're waiting on the Lord? That poem I was thinking about, Sister Weiniger, she quotes about the pottery. That vessel that was in the kiln, and when the heat came on, it had some trouble, didn't it? It had ended up falling and breaking. Thankfully, it wasn't to a point that it couldn't be fixed, but it had to be taken out and reworked. Some water back in there. But what happened? After that pot was fixed again, it had to be put back in the fire. It had to be purified. It had to get everything, it had to be hardened, if you will, in God's strength. It had to be perfected. Once again, practical application of the word. God, let me allow, I need to allow Him to have His perfect work in my life. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And she'll just get used to this, I guess, but I'll have to use my wife because she's with me all the time, so she gets to deal with it. But this one I don't really have a hard time with. I have a hard time going too far on this side of the ditch. Blessed are they that mourn. You know, so often, I tend to have a very sober spirit. And what I told Brother Paul McGowan, I said, if you had to live with my dad for 18 years, you'd be the sober one too, because he was the goof for both of us. Okay? I mean, I'm just being honest here, okay? So I do tend to have more of a sober nature. It's just who I am. I tend to be a melancholy. Sister Stuart and I, we both understand that very much about a melancholy spirit. And they tend to be more sober and very introspective. Well, I don't necessarily have as much of a hard time with this, but I do need to understand there is a time for mourning, though. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 tells us about that. Also, in another place, I think it's James talks about, let me see, let me pull that real quick, talking about, I may be thinking of the wrong, see. Okay, in James 4 and 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know, I don't like reading this part right here, ye sinners. You know, whenever, honestly, when we think about sinners, we're thinking about, I think a lot of times, ungodly sinners is what I think about. But if I'm not truly living, as Brother Painter had mentioned before, let's see if I can get walking in the Spirit, staying in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and live in the Spirit. If I'm not doing that at that time, then I am, by nature, if I'm living in my flesh, then I'm some way, it may be a commission or omission, sin, doesn't mean that I'm away from God, but I'm just still in my flesh. I'm learning how to lean on Him daily. That's why I have the advocate, that I can lift my hands and ask Him, God, today, if I have not lived a perfect day, forgive me for that. Help me, Lord. I didn't do it today, but maybe I can get 5 more minutes of perfection tomorrow, Sister Inez. Maybe today I only made 1 minute. Have you ever read that prayer of, Lord, so far I have lived a perfect day. I haven't said anything bad about anyone. I haven't sinned. I've been a great person, but I'm about to get out of bed. So help me with the rest of the day. Okay, I got some people that relate on that one. All right, good. Well, just have to have that. I have that opportunity always to go to Father, to the Father, to Christ as my advocate. But that part says, cleanse my hands, sinners. I need to realize that does still apply to me. I may not be actively trying to sin, but I do still have a sinful nature. We know the three phases of salvation, that we have been saved from our past sins, we're being saved, and ultimately we will be saved from our sinful nature. But I know I'm not there yet. I'm still in this process of being saved. And that's where we are, but that's where this comes into play, where sometimes, if we don't have an answer, if we don't know what direction to head, we need to maybe get on our knees and just call out to God. The Spirit will have intercession for us, speaking things that we don't even understand, and just call out on God, because there will be a time, it says here, this is a promise, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall be. Now that right there, you know what? I wish it would say within 1 hour. Or 5 minutes later, you'll feel a lot better. I know that's not true. I've lived long enough now to realize that's a fairy tale. But I have lived long enough now also to know that there is a time for that comfort. That when you have that gift of the Holy Ghost in your life, you have that opportunity to always call out on that Spirit, to seek God with all your heart, and He will comfort you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want to think that Brother Painter had said something the other night about that. You know, Moses was the, at one time they said, the meekest man on the earth. But meek, I think you said, doesn't mean weak. And I like that. That's true. You always, you know, those in comic books long ago, there was always the back page where you had the skinny runt. Okay? And he was always pushed around by the big guy until he read this book and then became super guy. And then he was like, you can't push me around anymore. Okay? And that's truly, a lot of people think of whenever you're meek, whenever you're, they just associate it. I don't know if it's because it rhymes. I don't know. But they automatically put that with weakness. But to be meek in spirit, to understand that, you know what? I am here only by the grace of God. I'm given this opportunity only by His Spirit. I've been called, but it's only because God uses human instrumentation. There is nothing specific about me that makes me so great that he had to call me? Because I love how Brother Watson put it years ago. Right now, we're written in the book of life, but you know what? Maybe it might be in pencil. It's penciled in. Because God has given me an opportunity to choose. Called, chosen. It's by me learning how to lean on him and walk by faith that I move into the next step of being chosen. And then by truly yielding to him and showing God, no matter what, I'll be faithful. So he can then one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few, I'll make you ruler over many." Now, this is just me and you guys know that. I truly do believe that God has at least a little bit of a sense of humor. Because he had to know that this, how it would translate later. Every time I hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and I think about the baptism of fire, I just picture me as like a steak. You know, I mean, I'm going to be one day, "Well done." This is how God doesn't want, hey, think about this. I know it's weird, but he doesn't want any blood, right? He told the Jews, "Don't eat anything strangled, don't eat anything bloody." He wants it well done. He doesn't want any of that flesh to be raw. He wants me cooked through and through. Just a thought, food for thought. How about that one? "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Once again, another with a promise. To hunger and thirst after righteousness. But what does that mean? What does it really mean to me? What does it mean to you to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Well, one of the sins of the Old Testament that happened over and over, God puts it at the forefront of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." No other gods before me. Well, so what does that mean to me? What am I hungering and thirsting for above God? What am I putting before him? What am I worshiping? I may not be as one of the children of Israel and have built a golden calf and am now literally am bowing down to it, but I might have built a golden calf in my heart. I might be worshiping the God of money. I might be worshiping the God of, not the God of fame, obviously, but there's something that I may be putting more of my effort into. It could very well be my family. What did he say? What did Christ say? If you love your father or mother more than me, you have no part with me. I have to look at that and realize, what am I putting before God? He should be the top. He should be my utmost thought. Now, you know, there is a saying that I've heard spoken before. I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. There's some truth in it, but that could be taken out of context. I believe that Christ was pretty heavenly minded, but he wasn't so heavenly minded not to be good. He was the best for the earth to have. So it all has to do with the spirit in which heavenly minded in that sense, what it means is puffed up, is thinking that I am so righteous that when I walk by, my shadow will heal you. Well, until it happens, I don't think anyone can really say that, right? "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I don't have to go through that one. We understand that God is a reciprocal God in so many aspects. How can I expect him to forgive me if I'm not forgiving others? How can I truly expect mercy from my brothers and sisters if I'm a hard, critical person? If I'm condemning everyone else, then I just need to wait my turn because it's going to come my way too. Instead, though, to have a spirit of mercy. Now, that's a hard one to get balanced out. This is for me personally. Because mercy and tolerance are two totally different things. But there's some gray area there where they start to look a little bit alike. We don't have to tolerate sin. If there's out-and-out sin, especially in a church, Brother Smith, it's his calling to, he's commanded to cut that off, to make sure that doesn't, once again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He's got to protect the saints from wolves, others that would hurt the church in those type of situations. But that's not referring to me right here. What I'm talking about is being merciful. So, my wife doesn't ever do this. I'll use it myself. So when I come in and I'm rude to my wife, and I've had a horrible, very bad day, and I'm just not nice, and I've just made her feel bad, she can show mercy on me and just say, you know what, sweetheart, I love you. I am sorry that you had a bad day. It is obvious. She might not have to say that, but she could say, I know you've had a bad day, but right now, is there something I can do to help you? Is there something I can do that would put a smile on your face to make you realize I love you and so does the Lord? So I'm going to test you this week, probably when I come home on Friday. And I'll let you guys know if I come to church hurt on Saturday. You'll know it didn't work out well, okay? But it's that kind of mercy. It's that if I pass Brother Painter in church and I look like a jerk and I'm just, you know, I've got something on my mind, and I'm, you know, and his mercy is that he's going to be, you know what, Brother Phil didn't mean anything by that. He wasn't trying to snub me. He just obviously has got old enough now to where if he loses that thought, he's not going to remember what he was about to do. So he's got to stay focused. Once he does that, I'll bet he'll beeline over here and shake my hand. And that's accurate, because that is how it happens now with me. If I lose that thought, I'm going to forget about it. That's the kind of mercy. See, I often will complicate things when I'm reading this, but it's simple steps. You know, this is not biblical. I'm surprised we don't see this in Proverbs, but I'm surprised that Solomon didn't say, thou keepest it simple, stupideth. Keep it simple. Keep it, another nicer way is keep it sweet and simple, okay? All right, yeah, you like that one, huh? See? Short and sweet, thank you. So I need to realize that a lot of this is just common sense of how to treat my brother. You know, later on, Christ talks about in the Beatitudes, when we talk about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's cheapened so much. People just say it, but think about it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay? That means when they're treating you wrong, treat them right. Do good to them. You know, if I have bad service at a restaurant, I'm within my rights to say something to the manager if it gets really bad, okay? But maybe I can turn that person's day around. Maybe I can go out of my way to say, hey, you know what? I really appreciate the service that you're giving us. You know, it's hard work. I've been in the service industry before. I was a busser, and that is a thankless job. People try to make your life miserable. When they turn their cups upside down, they're still full, and it's dark and you don't know, and you just pick it up, and then the water just goes all over the table. I've been there many a time. So see, I can relay that back to them and say, thank you. Do you know that would probably turn that person's day around if I just took that much time to show them mercy? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Brother Linger used to always use a little caveat there, in everything. Pure in heart. Looking for God in every situation. You know, I do remember him talking about, and Brother Smith has mentioned this, when he was on a particular trip. If he had a flat, thinking about, is God trying to delay me right now? Is there something that I need to be aware of? Did I not follow through with something? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing, but I didn't remember, and God's just trying to slow me down? Pure in heart to try to see God in the situation. Pure in heart to see, you know what? My brother's having a bad day. Or, truly, how do I project myself in my brother's shoes? Have I walked their walk before? Have I went through the experiences they've went through? If I had, I may react the same way that they just did. You know what? I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to lift them up. All I'm talking about today, church, is just the practical application of the Word of God. If I can't put this into practice in my life, and it's not a checking off the list. Okay, good, I've been poor in spirit today. I've been meek today. Oh, I'm definitely humble. Woohoo! You know, it's not that kind of list, but it's understanding that in everything that I say and do, the Bible talks about I'm going to be held accountable for that. So I need to be cognizant of how salty am I? Am I affecting your life to the point of you're having such a thirst for God's Spirit that you say, where do you go to church? I need that. Not for the lifting up of our personal, not for who we are, but for His kingdom. We are supposed to influence this world. Brother Smith has been talking again, and this is something that I've thought about influencing other people outside of this church in our community. The Great Commission was to disciple the apostles at that time, but who is the church today? Who is New Jerusalem today? It's us. It's us. We may not be in its full stead, but we're the, I'll say this, try with all humility, I guess we're the best thing going right now. If someone came along and they were able to show me more of the Word of God and more of the Spirit of God, I'd be a fool not to go after it. But right now, this is where God has us at, right? So we have that opportunity. Well, in this neighborhood just behind the church, how can I influence them? Can I be enough salt for this neighborhood, for just one family, to see that this is a beacon of light in the city of Little Rock, Arkansas? That this church has something to offer. Do we all really believe that with all our heart? I think we do. I think we do. We come here Wednesday, Saturday, now, and Sunday. We try to commit our time to it. We're committing our life to it. So I believe in faith we're making that walk. I'm trying to make that walk. So I believe it. Now I need to put that into action. This is when it gets hard, though. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Once again, I always put that off on, if you want to say, not necessarily war situations, but how easy is it to be if Bridget was arguing with Chelsea, and she does, if she was arguing with her, for me to come in and then bring peace in that situation. Okay? So I get to be the good guy, I get to be the hero, I get to bring peace in the home. But that's not what we're talking about here. To be a peacemaker, what are you striving in? What war are you a part of? What fight have I provoked? What have I done to bring wrath? What have I done to bring discomfort? I need to be a peacemaker. I need to realize that, you know what? Let me be the salve. Let me be the ointment like that flowed from Aaron's beard. Let me be the calming coolness on a wound instead of continually irritating it and pouring, lemon juice on it. Let me be the one to not say, oh, you got a wound? Well, I hear alcohol is good on that. Let's make that feel better. That's what'll be good. Woo! That's a Job's comforter there. Let me be the one to say, you know what? Here's some cool ointment. You know what? I know we had, and this has not ever happened between Brother Talley and I, except for one time when we were playing foosball, I got a chance to see he was still not a perfect overcomer, and he was talking trash and everything, let me tell you. But so there's not been anything, and not like I talk trash, but I'm just saying, he was like, what, you want some of this? I was like, is that Brother Talley? Whoa! Anyway, it's a true story, you know it is, Brother Talley. You know, he's like, oh. Yeah, he likes foosball, I know. If I have contention, if Brother Talley and I have contention, and it's his fault, really, okay, it's not mine, I really didn't do anything, but I have enough of Christ in my heart, do I have enough of the love of God to say, Brother Talley, I love you, and I am sorry I offended you, please forgive me? Do I have big enough shoulders to be able to take that right there from him and say, you know what, you're not going to be able to hold a grudge against me because I'm going to take that from you. I'm going to say, no, mm-mm. I love you too much to lose that relationship over something as petty as you talking trash to me playing foosball, Brother Talley. Whatever, okay? I love you. I'm baking you a pie and you'll get over it. Or Sister McGowan will, because you won't like my pie anyway. Being a peacemaker. They shall be called the children of God. Isn't that what we want? To truly be the children of God, to be led in the Spirit, to be joint heirs with Christ, to be heirs of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what? I haven't really had to deal with that. I don't know. I haven't feared for my life. I didn't get picked on in school. I came to this private school. No one picked on me for going to church because, well, most of them went to church too. So I haven't had that opportunity. But we will have that opportunity. And in the workplace. And as we let our light shine more, it's going to show. Now, we know we can balance this out. We shouldn't cast our pearls before swine. You know, I don't need to go to somebody on my job tomorrow and say, let me tell you about the doctrine of the devil, brother. Let me set you right on that, Mr. Baptist person. That's probably not going to win him. Oh, you're apostolic? Let me give you the real truth. You got one part right, but you're wrong on the other. And that's not going to help anything. But it's the love of God that I can show. And eventually, though, that's going to bring more persecution, more people being against us. Because, now, you answer this, please, somebody. Do you not see the spirit of this world, how it's changing daily? It's not getting less aggressive. It's not getting more holy. It's getting more in your face. I'll be ungodly, and you'll like it, and if you don't, you'll go to jail. Am I wrong? You know, those of us who've been around this group of people for a long enough time, we heard it talked about. But even 20 years ago, did you ever think that, and I won't mention detail, but did you ever think that there would be so much acceptance for that way of life? Did you ever think that people would just wholeheartedly embrace it? But is it like that today? And it's getting worse. It's a shame today. It's getting to the point of, if you're a Christian and you actually hold to these tenets, what are we? In their opinion, we're intolerant. We're unlearned. Backward. We're people that we obviously don't understand how to get along with other people. Because we're trying to live by God's word. So as we let that light shine, we will have an opportunity to live this. Blessed are ye men when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you false for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. All it's trying to tell us right there, you know that, you know this as much as I, is whenever we're living, we're being living epistles, when we're affecting people's lives, to be prepared for people to despise us. And the real hurt comes, it's really not from the outward, but it's in our own families. It's when our own family members, and it may not be within our own house, but your brothers and your sisters, your fathers, your mothers, when you start living that life to a more full extent, and today, please, church, know this. I'm not saying we're not doing this today. I'm not pointing fingers at any of us and saying we're not trying to live this today. What I'm trying to do, though, is bring this to the forefront of saying, I know that practical application of this Word of God is what I need in my life to have that closer walk with Him. I want to be able to come in here on Saturday night with my loins girt about with truth, with my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having the shield of faith, having a helmet of salvation, having the sword of the Spirit, being ready that when I come through those doors, I'm already prayed up, fasted up, and ready to go, striving to feel that wonderful presence of the Lord. Because I can feel the Holy Ghost, and you can feel the Holy Ghost out in the field or in your house. But God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. Why? Because we feed off all that. When all that Holy Ghost gets together, we're reminded of in Acts 2, when they were all in one accord, when they were all of one mind, they had a single thought. Jesus said to stay here and tarry, to wait until we be endued with power on high. He said, wait, and they were all waiting. They all had the same hunger. They all had the same mind. I can tell you this. I'll confess and I will ask for everyone in here's forgiveness today. There have been countless services when I came to church and my mind was not there. My mind was on an account I had to save, was on a bill I had to pay, was on some discipline I had to mete out to my children. It was on something, but it was not on getting closer with God and filling His Spirit right then. So I did a disservice to each and every one of you that came with a purpose that day. Because the more of us that come into a service with that hunger and that thirst, it said, blessed are ye. Where's that? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. That's a promise when we come into church, if we've got that hunger, if we've got that desire down inside, that nothing is going to keep me from getting a blessing tonight, if we've all got that spirit, what can we put to God that night? Can you hold anything to Him? Because it's not the Lord, but it's my unbelief. It's my unbelief by as much as I have faith to come to church. Just like that brother said, I believe you can do it, but help my unbelief, Lord. Help my unbelief. Help me to focus myself enough on You. What are You saying, Lord? What do we want? How much of the Spirit do we want? I think it's measureless. It's immeasurable what God can do for us if we come in the Spirit seeking, ready to receive from Him. Do you agree with me, church? Do you feel that if we would come in here lifting up our hands when we come in? You know what? Maybe the next service, we don't even give the band an opportunity to stand up first. What if we all just, as soon as we came in the church, we all just start praising. We all start getting our minds right there, seeking on Him, pulling on that Spirit. What kind of service might we have? I'm not saying to do it because I said it. I'm saying I need it. I need more of that Spirit. I need more of a touch from Him. I want to be able to walk and live, breathe, eat, and sleep in that Spirit. We've been taught about the tabernacle in the wilderness. Well, you know, we've been hanging out in the laver an awful long time. And I'm starting to look like a prune because we're hanging out in that water, but I need to go ahead and get that garment change. And where did they put on that linen garment? Did they put it on in the holy place? No. They put it on before they went into the holy place. They were imputed righteous when they went into the holy place. That's where we're at. That's where we are. So what I'm saying is I'd like that opportunity to move into the holy place, to be able to see that altar of incense, the seven golden candlesticks with the perfect light of God, to feel that Spirit emanating from third heaven, the Shekinah glory. Don't you want to feel that? I want to feel that. I want to feel that in my life more. I want to be able to apply this in my life and put it in my heart and say, Lord God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. God, don't let me get off to the right or the left. Don't let me get into a ditch. Don't let me get self-righteous, but don't let me get so far over here that I think, well, Your grace covers me and I don't have to worry about anything. I've got my ticket to heaven. It's punched. As soon as I die, I'm on my little trip. If anyone wants to really, I'm not saying to do this, but I just, I don't know. I like to torture myself, I guess. I watched this recent movie, the new edition of this of Left Behind. And after watching it, I mean, it was just like, I might as well have been watching a sci-fi movie. Because it was just like, wow. To know that 90% of the church world truly believes that in the moment, in the blink of an eye, people are just going to disappear. I mean, this woman was holding her child or her brother, and he just hit poof, gone, and his clothes hit the ground. I'm serious. I mean, this is the way it was portrayed. And I wanted to say, you know what? God, thank You. Thank You, Lord. I don't want to count that for naught. Thank You, God, that I've been given an opportunity to know a little bit more of the truth. I want to appreciate that. And right here, this is what I'm going to go ahead and end it on this right here, but ye are the salt of the earth. I talked about this earlier. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing that but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. I have to have that salt in my life. I have to be able to be an influence, or else I'm just like a branch that's not bringing forth fruit. You know, all through the Bible, there's these different pictures of God trying to show you, you know, are you a branch? Do you have salt in your life? Are you a vessel that can retain the Spirit, the water? Do you have holes in you? All these are all speaking to the same thing. Am I producing something in my life that's going to affect the world? Am I producing something that can help others to see Christ for who He really is? You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's my prayer today. Is God, help me, Lord. Help me to not just read these words and for them to be dead letters, just ink on paper, but to be life in my heart. God, let me have enough of the Spirit of God to quicken that, to quicken the understanding, to get the wisdom to know how to treat my brother, how to treat my sister. And if I can't treat you right, my brother, if every time I come to church and I'm offended because of someone not shaking my hand, someone not smiling at me, someone saying something that I just don't like the way they talked. I don't like the way they looked that service. God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to put myself aside and to realize I need more of Him. Help me to reach out, to be a true vessel of honor to God in this day, because that's what He's looking for. There will be saviors come forth on the Mount Zion. There'll be saviors. That's us. That's us, the called, chosen, and faithful that are seeking to be a part of the bride of Christ. That's my vision. That's our vision today. So anyway, I wanted to give my heart. I'm not going to ask if you have any questions, because all of you have heard this a million times, and what I was doing is just reiterating and going over it. But if any brother or sister has anything to add to it, if I didn't hit something or say something, then please, please know, you know, we have in the body of Christ right now, we have the open forum. And if there's anything that I said that is contrary, if I might have said something that you know is contrary to what Brother Smith has said, please, please don't let it go tonight. Say something, because we're striving to do what's right. And I don't want to ever present something that's seen as the wrong angle. So does anyone, Brother Painter, did you have anything that you wanted to add tonight for this service? Well, I really appreciate having been given the opportunity to get up here and give my heart and in this type of scenario. I hope I didn't wear you out with walking around too much. I can't help it. You know, especially whenever we talk about these things, it's life. And it's in my bones, and I can't just stay still. You know, it's hard to be in this scenario, because I tell you what, I want to feel that wonderful Spirit. I love that Spirit. I love that Spirit of God. Thankfully, I don't know. I'm so thankful. God knew that I needed to have an opportunity to hear about the Holy Ghost. My personality, who I am, I'm an emotional person. If I had heard about God just from a logical standpoint, it probably would have never stuck with me. I needed to be able to feel that Spirit. I needed to have that connection to Him. I needed to know Him a little more intimately. So I appreciate that. So if no one else has anything then, if we'll go ahead and stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer. Remember, we got band practice at 6:30. Service at 7:30. Band practice at 6:30, Saturday night. Service at 7:30. After service, have a wonderful opportunity to come downstairs and eat some blessed, awesome food served by the youth of the body of Christ in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Sunday, another wonderful service. So we got a lot to look forward to. We'll pray the rest of this week that God keeps his hand on us. Dear Lord, we appreciate you and thank you for this night, Lord, to come together as your people, to serve you, Lord, to learn more about you, to have that closer walk, God. We appreciate you and we thank you for your many wonderful blessings.